Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 7, Episode 96. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. Happy Friday to all of you listening, and happy Friday to the guy sitting in for David Todd today, Alex Cazora. Alex, how are you on this fine Friday?
I'm great, Dave. Thanks for having me on. We've got a lot of questions. I'm really excited, so thank you for everybody that submitted a question to the Terrible Podcast.
Yeah, we have we'll have a little bit of extra time today, so I thought ahead of that we'd post on Twitter and get a few questions from listeners, and we're going to give a few shout outs along the lines to some listeners that live outside the United States. My wife was asking me about this the other day. I was telling her, you know, sometimes you don't realize the reach of this thing until you start getting emails from, you know, all these various places, and just trying to name some off the top of my head. He really couldn't even do it, you know. And I told her, I said, well, you know what? I'm going to dedicate some time to the show this week and on Twitter to kind of get some of these people to reach out to me. But first things first, not a lot to talk about when it comes to Steelers' recent news. I mean, obviously, we have some pro day visits that are going on this week. The league meetings wrapped up earlier in the week. You know, we've already covered, I believe, quite a bit of the comments that came out of that, most notably by Mike Tomlin, and then, of course, earlier in the week by Kevin Colbert. But I think right now the big story, the big news, if you will, heading into the weekend, is that there is no big news on Martavis Bryant. Mm-hmm. And I know there was a report a few days ago by Chris Bradford of the Beaver County Times, indicating that a source had told his paper that reinstatement of Martavis Bryant was imminent. And then Bradford posted kind of late, what was it, Thursday afternoon, that a league spokesman had reached out to him and said, look, there's, you know, Bryant, nothing is imminent with Bryant right now. So, you know, I don't think that's a negative, that, you know, that nothing is imminent. It just means that, hey, the commissioner's going to do things on his own time.
That's how it always works, Dave, isn't it? I was trying to caution people way back January 29th. I wrote the article for Depot saying, you know, this could be a drawn-out process just because the league's supposed to respond in 60 days. And some, you know, commenters have smartly pointed out that that might not technically be true if you really read into the letter of the CBA. But Goodell drags this process out as long as he possibly can. And I never expected an announcement to be made on March 28th. And obviously it wasn't. And who knows when it'll be. I think it'll happen maybe a week before the draft or something like that. I just hope it's before the draft. You know, that's kind of just the goal for myself.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I've written and said all along. You know, hopefully this team will find out prior to the draft. Not that it, you know, here's the thing. Just knowing ahead of the draft, I'm not really sure what that means now at this point, because the Steelers have said all offseason, both, you know, or all three, talking about Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney II, in so many words are saying, look, you know, if we get Martavis Bryant back, that's great. But, you know, on the flip side, we don't know what we're going to have in him. We don't know if we can trust him moving forward. And, you know, that's to be expected. I think just for my own personal gain and well-being out, you know, for the outlook into 2017, would like, obviously, to know by draft time if Martavis Bryant is going to be reinstated. With that said, we've seen the Steelers be fairly active, I think, in the pro day circuit and combine and Senior Bowl when it comes to, you know, looking at wide receivers. I don't think, even though they went out and signed Justin Hunter, you know, a few weeks ago, I will not be shocked at all if they draft a wide receiver. However, I'm hoping that that's not going to happen in the first, let's say, three rounds, even four rounds, which in my opinion might be a little bit early, but I could see it happening then. People have asked me all along this process, you know, on Twitter, you know, am I worried about Martavis Bryant in this reinstatement process? Well, all I can tell you is that as far as I can tell, and that's not much more than just outward signs and interviews and social media and that kind of stuff. You know, I have no reason to believe that Martavis Bryant hasn't been walking the straight and narrow for the last several months and is on path and doing the right things that he needs to do to get himself reinstated. That means absolutely nothing, though. You know, that's just me, observing and trying to make an educated guess as far as what his situation is. And will I be surprised if he's not reinstated ahead of the draft? Yes. But on the flip side, I obviously don't know all the details.
Right. It's such a dicey situation for any of us to try to comment on and figure out what's going on in the Steelers' head. Clearly, like you said, based on the comments the Braz has made, even Mike Tomlin's just most recent comments down at the league meetings over on Steelers.com seem to keep Bryant at a very much an arm's length, saying that, hey, this train keeps on moving. I hope Bryant does well personally, but he didn't really commit to, you know, being excited about getting him back as a player. So it's very hard to get a gauge of what's going on. I do expect Bryant to be reinstated before the draft. Alden Smith, for example, his deadline, quote-unquote deadline, was December 2nd. Goodell reinstated him, or at least made a decision. I forget the whole situation, but made his decision December 30th. So, you know, about, you know, almost a month after the fact. So hopefully Bryant before the draft. But it is tough because obviously there are, you know, some fences that have to be mended between Bryant and the Steelers. And do they even consider Bryant as any sort of asset going forward? Or is he a total luxury pick? And if you don't envision Bryant in the picture, then, yeah, you're going to have the mentality of being more aggressive trying to find another Z receiver. But I think he's going to be back. You know, I think that you've gotten your insurance policy with Justin Hunter. You know, I'm not opposed to drafting a receiver high because they evaluate that position so well. But if you assume Bryant's going to be back, I'd much rather wait till later in the draft, you know, sixth, seventh round, and take your practice squad flyer.
Yeah, I agree with that as well, too. And the thing, look, when I see all kind of things written in the comments, especially when we write about Bryant and related to the commissioner and all like that. I don't think this is a case of the commissioner, you know, having bias toward the Steelers and you know, taking his time because Bryant, you know, is a Steelers player. This is just, you know, we don't really, you know, we don't, unless you're in that league office, you don't know the procedure. I mean, you could try to read some of these things, the language in the CBA and you know, in the substance abuse. And you can read that thing four or five times and still not totally understand, you know, what it means. So I just think this is just a process with no timetable attached to it. And, you know, like I said, I think and hope and, you know, that it will there'll be a decision by the time the draft rolls around, which, oh, by the way, I think is 4 weeks from yesterday. I will be shocked if we don't have a decision by then, quite honestly.
Agreed, but I'm going to take the more cynical approach than you and say, you know, I get it's a process, but I think Goodell just likes to make these guys sweat and play the waiting game, and he drags his feet because he can, because who's going to tell him to make a decision? You know, he's got all the power in this situation, so I guess I'm more cynical than you, which is a nice role reversal.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing. You're the cheery optimist. My mistake.
I normally, I mean, when it, you know, out anything non-Steelers related, it would be true that curmudgeon like and all, but yeah, I like to think that I'm a glass half full guy when it comes to the Steelers specifically. It's just other things related to not being able to find my coffee mug sometimes in the morning and those kind of things that really set me off. Anything else Steeler news-wise, Alex, you know, that stuck out to you this week? I mean, Mike Tomlin and Keith Butler are in Tennessee on this Friday morning looking at, you know, Derek Barnett, Cameron Sutton, Dobbs, Alvin Kamara, obviously there, the other young receiver that we profiled on the site taking part there as well. You know, a few other pro days, you know, Miami pro day was, of course, earlier this week. Kevin Colbert was there. Don't really need to rattle off the names, you know, the big names there. Of course, Brad Kaya, David Njoku, which, by the way, it would not hurt my feelings at all. David Njoku was at number 30, 30th overall selection there. But, you know, is there anything else that caught your eye other than the pro days and the Martavis Bryant stuff that we talked about?
Other than pro days, no, but we got a lot to talk about with the pro days. So, you know, I'm pretty sure, and I shouldn't say pretty sure, but I feel like that a good deal of confidence that this team's going to draft Brad Kaya in the third round. What do you think?
It wouldn't surprise me at this point. I mean, Kaya is a guy that, you know, is going to be one of those mid-round guys. I think maybe the bottom end of that mid-round type of best of the rest, if you will. So, you know, it's either going to be, I think, him or the kid out of Cal, I think, are the two most likeliest options. I don't know where Peterman fits in on that. I would think Peterman more of a little bit later round guy. I don't think it'll be Mahomes. I don't think it'll be Dobbs. I don't think it'll be, you know, some of the, Deshaun Kaiser. None of those. But I would tend to go with you and say, you know, either Kaya or the kid out of Cal.
Agreed. And the reason why I say Kaya is they talked to him at the combine. They sent Colbert to the Miami's pro day. They met with Kaya at the pro day. And, you know, that's pretty heavy indication. And just this quarterback class is kind of weak. And so I think pick 94 makes a lot of sense for them. I don't think it'll be Mahomes because it's Friday. And I believe Texas Tech's pro day is today. And Tomlin is at Tennessee. So unless Colbert shows up at Texas Tech, hard for me to think they're going to take Mahomes.
Yeah, we don't know. It's so hard. And look, I don't even think any of the media could recognize Randy Feitner. Probably 98% of the media around the country wouldn't even know Randy Feitner from you. You know, showing up at a pro day. Now, we have been able to see a picture here and there along the pre-draft process of Randy Feitner, the Steelers quarterbacks coach. But, you know, for all we know, he might be at the Tennessee pro day today with you know, Dobbs throwing there, or he might be, you know, at the other one there with Mahomes. So
right, but I think if you're going to draft Mahomes in the first round, you're going to send more than
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously I think Kevin Colbert would have to be there, and you would think the two that would be at that pro day would be Randy Feitner and Kevin Colbert there. So I understand. I get why people kind of, you know, wanting the Steelers to address quarterback and maybe even quarterback in the first round and especially with the comments, you know, Ben's made. But we've said it, you know, 30 times, if not 50 already on this podcast. Neither one of us are enthralled with this quarterback class and you know, not even to the point, you know, it's bad enough that we don't want them to take one at all. And now we're kind of resigned to the fact of, okay, third or fourth round, go ahead and do what you got to do. But none of these guys really, other than maybe Mahomes, really stick out to me.
Sure. And this is just what I think that will happen rather than what I would want to happen, because I think everyone knows my feelings on that. But yeah, whatever quarterback they take, I'm pretty convinced it's going to be someone that they either brought in for pre-draft visit, like a Davis Webb, or somebody that they were at the pro day for. Because if you're going to make that investment and say this could be the next Ben, or the heir to Ben at least, you know, we got to get a good look at him. We got to have our top guys there talking to his family, trying to find out everything we can on him. But, you know, it's a good segue because I did a study. And I thought the results were kind of interesting. Maybe not super surprising, but still interesting. Just about the history of Steelers first round picks and where Colbert and Tomlin have been at. And since 2010, the Steelers first round pick has been a guy that either Tomlin, Colbert, or both have been at their pro day. The last one that wasn't, as far back as I could find, was Ziggy Hood in 2009. So you got the Ohio State guys, you got Pouncey, DeCastro, I mean, you know the whole list. So if you wanted to try to find out who the Steelers' first-round pick is, to start narrowing down that list, you want to look at places Tomlin and or Colbert have been at. So Carl Lawson's in play. T.J. Watt is in play. Tankersley from Clemson's in play. You know, Connelly Lattimore from Ohio State, if somebody drops. Taco Charlton, who they've had a good deal of interest in. Quincy Wilson, Marcus May, Jared Davis, Njoku, your guy, Barnett. Those are all guys that are in play. Guys that aren't in play based off this study, which, again, they could go away from it, but I don't think they will. Hassan Reddick wouldn't be in there. Kevin King wouldn't be in there, not Charles Harris, not Derek Rivers, not Melifonwu, not Willis, not Tyus Bowser. So, you know, I have the whole article up on Steelers Depot from the other day, but I thought that was an interesting kind of results.
You know, the thing thing with Ziggy Hood, in fact, I seem to remember Kevin Colbert talking one time about Ziggy Hood and saying they were at his pro day.
Okay.
I don't find that.
I would love that. But it was not a pre-draft visit. I can tell you that. I pulled up your list.
Right. Well, you know, that's pre-draft visits that we know of, you know. And back, you know, that far, do we know that all of them were reported? We think we were. But, because I remember researching this in the past, too, and it seems like I remember an interview. I don't think you'll find it written anywhere or reported anywhere, but I think Kevin Colbert did an interview one time and said we were at Ziggy's pro day. Now, whether that meant him or we, the organization, yeah. You know, I don't know. But I seem that always seems to stick out to me. And the other thing, you know, we talk about pre-draft visits, I think. I can't remember. I don't think there was any notable or anything written about when Cameron Hayward. I don't think Cameron Hayward came in for a pre-draft visit ahead of him being drafted. But damn, they already knew so much about him. You know, probably wasn't a need to bring him in. But yeah, that is, I definitely, you know me and trends. I buy every little bit that you were selling in that post.
Yeah. And to be fair, you know, there isn't a strong correlation between pre-draft visit and first-round pick. I think one of our readers, commenter JT, who did a really good job breaking everything down, which I've also posted an article somewhere. I think since, I want to say 2008, only three first-round picks have actually been brought in for pre-draft visit, but they have done things like, you know, pro-day dinners, which, you know, Artie Burns, Bud Dupree would fit into those categories. So there's less of a correlation in that respect, but there's a very strong correlation. So if Hood, you know, if Hood was if they were there for Hood or not, either way, it just strengthens the study. So, you know, if you want to find the first-round pick, you know, obviously you're going to go from a big Power 5 school, and you're going to go somewhere where Tom and Colbert were at, and we have the Pro Day tracker up on Steelers Depot. We've been updating throughout this offseason, and you know, find all the schools they've been at there.
Yeah, let's see. You know, let's assume Ziggy Hood didn't come in. Let's assume Cameron Hayward didn't come in. David DeCastro, I don't think he made a pre-draft visit, right?
I don't believe so.
Rashard Mendenhall, I don't think he made a pre-draft visit. Artie Burns last year, right?
Yeah, Dupree, you know. There was Dupree and Burns for pro day dinners.
Dupree, who was before Dupree?
They brought Shazier in. They brought Jarvis in.
Right.
They brought Pouncey in. That appears to be the three that our reader JT found.
Right. Well, I mean, you would expect him to be at the pro day of a number one guy. right?
Yes. Well, that's what the study shows, right, is that since at least 2010, maybe even further back, if Hood was the guy, they've been there. They want to see these guys in person. That's just natural. You know, you're going to draft the guys that you know the best, the guys that you've seen, the guys where you could talk to their family and get to really know who the person is and find out their character. That's the correlation. So it's not a huge surprise, you know, but I bet that, you know, not every team has that kind of track record. Some other teams probably are drafting, you know, from places they haven't been.
Now, also, too, we should make clear that Kevin Colbert might have slipped in a place or two that we don't know about.
Yeah, maybe, but it's harder to hide with the media today. Someone takes a picture and your face is plastered there.
Right, but I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if the media missed one.
Yeah, true. But I'll say this. I'll preface it by saying, let's say a guy like Derek Rivers, you know, only Joe Porter was at the Youngstown State Pro Day, but that was because Tomlin and Colbert were whining and dining Hightower that day. So maybe that's an exception. Or, you know, they obviously have interest in Mellon Fond, who they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. So, you know, you can't completely discount him. But if you just look solely at this study, you know, I'm trying to create this list of guys that it could be, and, you know, we've started to narrow it down a little bit. A guy like Tyus Bowser, for example, who's been mocked to the Steelers, and I think you can justify it in terms of the athletic profile, but they've shown zero interest in Tyus Bowser. No interview at the Combine, no pro day attendance. They didn't even send Porter to the pro day. So, I mean, no reported pre-draft visits, so I can't really see them taking a guy like Tyus Bowser at 30.
And I don't, but you know me personally, I don't think Bowser's a first-round guy. OB, I mean, if he's there at 30, I mean, here's the thing: when you draft this late in the first round, are any of these guys, you know, first-round guys? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you can make an argument that OB could fall down into the middle of the second round. We've said all along, as much as you and I both like Carl Lawson, there's a possibility he could be that one edge guy that you know, or one of two or three edge guys that just free falls, you know, mm-hmm. into the second round. Now, would I be surprised if Lawson makes it out of the second round? Absolutely. You know, several other edge rushers as well. But I guess in so many words, you know, some of these guys that we might be considering first round guys who maybe Colbert didn't go to their pro day, maybe these guys are second-round guys, you know. Type play. After you weeded through all those names, what names are sticking out to you? Carl Lawson.
Lawson's pretty obvious. I keep kind of circling Tankersley from Clemson, you know, because Tomlin, and I guess we need to touch on this at some point, but Tomlin had told reporters, you know, basically, we got to be better man-to-man defense. We got to do a better job of getting after the quarterback. So very obviously outside linebacker, cornerback focused, and Tankersley is a really good man corner. He can tackle pretty poorly, but he's a really good man corner. So yeah, that could be a sleeper pick at 30. You know, some people think he can get in the second round. I'm not sure if he can. You know, I look at Jabril Peppers, who they've had decent amount of interest in. Charlton, they've had a good amount of interest in. You know, and could there be a sleeper like a Marcus May? So I don't know, but Tankersley is the one name I can't stop looking at, you know.
I, you know, a guy like Harris, in my opinion, is one that I think you got to. Tomlin or Colbert wasn't there though, right? Missouri?
Neither. It was only Porter. So right. That kind of takes him off my list a little bit. Now, not impossible, but it you know, sends up a flag.
Right, right. You would think those guys would be there. So, of the edge guys, I mean, who are we talking about? Lawson and
Watt. Lawson and Watt. They've been at Auburn, they've been at Wisconsin. And, you know, if Barnett were to fall or if Charlton were to fall, you know, those guys could be in the conversation too. But Lawson and Watt are kind of sitting at the two atop of my list of guys that they could take. They weren't at Willis. They weren't with Harris. They weren't with Rivers. They were at Lawson's pro day. They were at Watt's pro day. And they met with Watt, and they probably met with Lawson too.
Yeah, before we segue, I want to talk a little bit more about some of these edge guys. But before we do that, hey, Steeler fans, the mortgage process sometimes can be more challenging than spelling Roethlisberger or figuring out whether or not Roethlisberger is indeed going to play in 2017. Let our buddy Craig Oxane guide you through the sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Knoxville, Tennessee, where Mike Tomlin is today looking at those Volunteers going through the pro day. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, please give our sponsor Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company. Company in NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Craig, we appreciate you. Speaking of Illinois,
I'm going to give you a golf clap for that.
I was ready for this. I was really looking forward to this podcast today because you know we do have a lot to talk about when it comes to some more of these edge rushers. We banked on quite a few of them already, ones that we think at least should be associated with the Steelers. I'm not sure if you watched it yet. It went up this morning, Alex, but speaking of Illinois, Dwayne Smoot, edge rusher out of Illinois. I didn't know. I'd seen some generic highlights of Smoot before really sitting down and turning on several of his games the last few days. But this guy's tape grows on you.
Yeah, you know, I watched him, I think two games before the Senior Bowl, and I was coming away kind of unimpressed. I went down to the Senior Bowl, and he did really well. He's got much better bend than what I thought he showed on tape, or at least in the games that I watched, and it makes me have to go back. He's a guy that, you know, his shoulder pads were ripped up every single day after practice because guys just were trying to claw at it when they ended up grabbing a shoulder pad. And so I think he's definitely in play, you know, for the Steelers. I know there really hasn't been a lot of reported interest in, but I remember down in Mobile, you know, the two guys the Steelers kind of seemed to talk about and have some interest in was the two Illinois guys, Smoot and Carroll Phillips. So I have not gotten a chance to see this sacral yet because I woke up about 15 minutes before this podcast started. But I definitely will check it out because I think that's a, you know, third, fourth round guy to keep in mind.
Yeah, I view him as maybe a fourth round guy, Alex. I think in my eyes. Obviously, I don't think he's a guy that you tie the wagon to with him being your edge, you know, your only edge that you draft this year.
Sure.
But I do think if you were to double dip in this draft at the outside linebacker position, if you could get a guy like Smoot round, I consider him a fourth round talent. So with that said, I could see him going fourth, fifth round. Right around in there. The more tape I've watched on him, it would not hurt my feelings if he's the back end of a double dip.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you went Lawson in the first and let's say Smoot in the fourth, or I think you could also do Carroll Phillips in the fifth, though I'm not crazy about Phillips, but I think it makes sense. So, we'll see if they double dip. And if they do double dip, Arthur Vogt's better watch his spot because he's going to be watching the draft probably closer than any of us. Because they take one, he'll probably be okay. If they take two, he's getting pushed outside the bubble.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about it too, Arthur Motes is not the special teams player that he once was either. In fact, I would probably consider Arthur Motes more a liability than an asset when it comes to special teams nowadays. People have constantly said since the day Motes was signed as a free agent, oh, he can play inside too, and we need guys that can play inside and outside. It's going to be a cold day in Pittsburgh when Arthur Motes plays inside. So
yeah, that's never happening.
You're not holding on to Arthur Motes over another player for the sheer reason that Arthur Motes can play inside. So don't even bring that to me anymore. And let's face it, I mean, look, I liked Arthur Motes signing way back when it happened, but the fact of the matter is that guy was just a guy then. He was a depth guy, and he's less. I love the guy. I think he's great in the locker room. I think he's going to do absolutely great after his football life is over because he's so media friendly. He's so damn likable. But he's just a guy, and it's not hard to upgrade him this offseason, and not only in the draft. You know, I think undrafted free agents as well too. If you get one of those guys that that has a little bit of upside to him, that oh yeah, he can play special teams. You know, I've said all along, I think Moats might be a salary cap casualty.
It's possible, and I think, again, the draft is the place we'll start, and we'll see exactly what the Steelers approach outside linebacker with. Again, if they have just one guy, you look at the way the roster will be make up, you can basically trade the one outside linebacker for Jarvis Jones and say the rest of the guys stay. They bring in two, somebody's likely to go, and it'll kind of be Moats and Ciccolo fighting for that last spot, and I think Ciccolo will most likely win out. But just something to keep in mind.
All right, another guy. I really enjoy putting these compilations together because I think, sack numbers are sack numbers. You can't scout a player just by going off of his stats. You can't deem a player going to be successful or not successful in the NFL just because of a sack highlight reel, but. Yeah, they will show you a lot about a player and how he wins and how he isn't able to win. And that's one of the big things that I like when putting these things together. TJ Watt, personally, Alex, I came away from the extensive state tape study a little underwhelmed when it came to TJ Watt, and especially with all the talk about him potentially being a first-round pick, I don't see it.
Yeah, if you're going to draft TJ Watt, you're drafting him based off his athletic profile because he had a great combine and the potential upside that he has because he's still really raw at his craft. I mean, I think he's only been playing DN for 2 years now. So, he's got a lot of work to do. So, if you're Pittsburgh, the reason why I'd stay away from Watt at 30 is because I want my first-round pick and my outside linebacker definitely to make that year-one impact in the play probably about 50% of the snaps. And for a guy like Watt, who doesn't have much experience playing with his hands up and just is new to the position in general, not a lot of game reps, not a lot of practice reps compared to other guys, that could be a more difficult transition. And so that's why I'm kind of lukewarm on the idea of Watt at 30.
I think a few of his sacks scheme related. See him come bust up through the middle. See him beat a few running backs on him. A few times as well too. Now it's not his fault. You don't penalize the guy because oh yeah he just ran over a running back is all. But I think you have to take all that into account. So in my opinion, I don't think TJ Watt should be in discussion for the first round pick at all. Does that mean I don't like TJ Watt? No, it just means there's a place for everybody. The first round isn't the place for Watt. I would be a lot more comfortable if you got him in, the third round, because quite honestly, I would grade him as a late second to third round guy.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what grade I have, but he's kind of all over the mess. Some people really like him for that upside. Some people think that, he's not a great edge rusher. He should be a Sam linebacker. I mean, he's kind of all over the place in terms of the evaluation. But again, I think you're drafting Watt for what he's going to do in year three more so than what he's going to do in year one.
Joe Mathis, a guy you've been probably a little bit higher than me on. I like Joe Mathis, but I put together his his highlight, his sack reel, if you will. That rhymes. and with that said, what did you see that you liked or didn't like in that?
No, I like Mathis. I think he's just kind of a sleeper, really good value. He's a guy that is not going to be this athletic, bendy guy, but he's going to be heavy-handed, convert speed to power, and be able to collapse the pocket. And I think Mathis, not in the sack reel, of course, but I think he might be the best edge setting and run defense, edge guy in this year's draft because of the length that he has, the arm extension he gets, the ability to stack and shed and vision on the football. I think he does a really nice job to hold the point of attack and set a physical edge. And so he's not going to be, I think, ever a 2-sack guy or anything like that, but or a 10-sack guy or anything like that. But, you know, I think he's a guy that can be very consistent. And, you know, I don't like to use his comp very often because I see it being used, you know, that often. But, you know, I think he could be what Jarvis Jones was supposed to be. You know, this guy that's really good against the run and a pretty good, not a great pass rusher.
Where do you, I mean, you obviously, would you have Watt higher than Joe Mathis?
Probably. I mean, I haven't gotten into Watt's tape too much yet, much more on Mathis. But, you know, I think there's more upside with Watt. But, you know, I know Mathis is coming off the injury, but, you know, he could maybe make even a more immediate impact because he's a guy that's played on his feet. He's played all over Washington's defense. They used him in 2015 as a hand-down B-gap guy, and then last year they stood him up. So I think he's a smart guy that's, you know, kind of played everywhere and is going to be much more sound against the run. So, yeah, I think there's higher upside with Watt, I guess, as a pass rusher. But, you know, in terms of immediate impact and just a well-rounded game, dropping into coverage, I think Mathis has done that more and is a better guy in that regard.
And the thing with you know, when it comes to Watt and Mathis, if I rate Watt higher than Mathis, it's not by much in my eyes. So, you know, does that really mean, you know, I guess in a nutshell, I would consider both these guys more third round talents. You know, Mathis maybe being drafted a little bit later. Mathis, of course, had the injury bug hit him last year. But Watt, of course, had some issues early on, right? With him, didn't he miss some games due to what was it? Do you remember what it was? Was it knee with him?
No, I don't. I don't think I remember.
I watched so much of these guys. Watt injured his left knee, you know, early on in his college career there too. He blew out his right knee in 2014 and sat out all season, and then injured his left knee after that. So, you know, there is some medical concerns, you know, tied to Watt, along with the fact that kind of raw, as we talked about. And, you know, when it comes to Mathis, he also is got some injury concerns with it. So, needless to say, I think you would agree with me, neither Watt or Mathis are in the running for the Steelers' first-round pick.
Well, I don't discount Watt. I mean, you see a lot of these mocks, and people put him as that first-rounder, and the Steelers have obviously had, you know, some, you know, fairly decent level of interest. Mathis isn't, but, you know, I can't sit here today and say absolutely no way T.J. Watt is not the pick at 30. I can't do it.
I'll say it for you.
But they've shown the interest in him. I mean, I know that you grade him differently, but you at least, I know you've seen him mock in the first round and maybe even mock in Pittsburgh.
Sure. I've seen Watt show up in that top 50 too, right? Of I believe Daniel Jeremiah, I had him in there as well too. I just look, I mean, obviously, I can't guarantee anything that when it's related to the draft. But I will tell you this: I will be shocked if T.J. Watt goes in the first round. You know, regardless of the team, I just don't think he. I've watched 500 snaps of him. You know, which, you know, probably still means not a lot to a lot of people. But personally, I will be surprised if he's the first round guy. So anybody else that we talked about Tim Williams the other day, right?
Yeah, we did. I think we've hit most of these guys.
Yeah, we talked about Charles Harris, Tim Williams, Willis, a guy that I like as well. I think you do too. Mathis, Smoot. I tell you, a guy that's going to makes for a full sack reel, Derek Barnett.
He's fun.
And I hope to have that compilation up on Saturday, I think, either Saturday or Sunday. It's going to be quite lengthy. And on top of that, don't worry about the Steelers having a chance to draft him, I don't think.
Yeah, I think, obviously Tomlin and or Colbert's at the pro day. Who's there? Tomlin? Is Tomlin at Tennessee today or is it Colbert? Tomlin,
no,
right?
Tomlin's there now. Now, I don't know if we know if Colbert's there or not. It just it hasn't been reported.
Yeah.
Now, Butler's there.
Okay.
So, read into that, which, I think a lot of that, more of their attendance there might be related to Cameron Sutton than anything mm-hmm. else.
Yeah, no, I think Cam Sutton's definitely in play for round two for Pittsburgh, especially with the whole Jordan Lewis thing that's kind of really hurting his draft stock. But, I'd be surprised if Barnett fell all the way to 30. I mean, he's just a really good athlete, and he's going to be a guy that's one speed going forward, get after the quarterback, and those guys get drafted really high in the NFL.
All right, why don't you, and you've recently profiled a couple of cornerbacks here on the site. If we're talking about first or second round cornerbacks this year for the Steelers, who are they?
Well, I think if you're looking at outside guys, you want big, long corners. And I profiled basically three of them almost back to back to back. And I swear, Dave, they're all the same guy. I mean, I looked at Tankersley, Cordarrelle Tankersley from Clemson, Quincy Wilson from Florida, and Akella Witherspoon from Colorado. And they're basically the same guys. They're 6 foot plus with length that are really good cover corners, that are strong athletes that can play man coverage really well, which is what the Steelers are looking for, but they're all varying shades of bad tacklers. And I thought Tankersley was going to be the worst guy because I saw him first, and he might be the best of the three. He's a wrap-up, drag-down tackler, but Wilson doesn't even play anywhere close to his size, and Witherspoon might be one of the worst tackling corners in this draft. So if Steelers want one of those guys, you know what you're getting, and it's going to be a strong commitment to man coverage if they're going to draft, I think, any of those three guys, because you're not going to play zone coverage, tackle to catch with any of those three players because, well, they can't tackle.
Who are some other guys in the first two rounds? Woozy, the Colorado kid, right?
Woozy. I like Trey White from LSU. I like Kevin King a ton, especially now after watching these other corners, because I think King is not a great tackler, but he's a whole lot better than these other guys. But again, Steelers not at the pro day. Doesn't bode well for King. I think he might be a first-round pick. I like in the later rounds DeMonte Casey from San Diego State. He's one of my draft crushes. Look for size. Look for length. So I think there's a kid in Houston whose name is slipping me, Howard Wilson, I think might be his name, who could be a guy in the, third, fourth round pick.
Isn't he the one that just, wasn't there a little bit of commotion concerning mm-hmm. him at his pro day?
Yeah, he didn't do any positional drills. He refused to do positional drills. I'm assuming that's based off of the Sidney Jones and that UCLA kid's injuries, and he didn't want to, fall prey to that, or really his agent getting in his ear. Very strange. Tony Pauline covered it well. I think Wilson was throwing footballs just, to guys, just kind of messing around, and an agent ran over and yelled at him to not throw the football. So kind of a strange situation there. But he ran the 40, so they were okay with him running the 40, not okay with him going through drills, which is unusual, to say the least.
I wish we could locate where, not that it matters, where Carnell Lake is, but there have been, I don't even think we have, do we have a report of where Carnell Lake has even been this offseason? I think the presence at Florida was an interesting one for the Steelers. And no, I'm not talking about T. Staver. that poor kid, maybe he should have stood on his combine numbers.
Yeah, he ran slow.
Yeah, not just slow. He ran very slow. I mean, I think both of his times over, I watched it on ESPN3, and Booger McFarland was giving out the times, and as it turns out, both those times were right. They were well over 4.7 seconds. That's I don't care how your tape looks. You can't. And I gotta admit, I haven't watched a ton of Tabor film, but I never bought into the first round stuff with Tabor, and then now 4 weeks to go until the draft, I'll have time to go back and say, okay, where's that 4.7 time in relation to his tape to double check? But I just can't see a guy. I just can't see him being drafted in the first round. And, I think second round right now might even be pushing it for him.
I think you make a great point about Florida, though. They could easily walk away with two Florida guys this year because there's a ton of talent, a Quincy Wilson and Anzalone, Alex Anzalone, who I really like, who I've mocked several times with the Steelers. Olszewski was down there with Colbert as well. Jared Davis, you know, if there's one like super sleeper for the Steelers at 30, I think it might be Jared Davis because I think he might be the next Lawrence Timmons. And he had a great workout. He ran a 4.58, jumped 38 and a half inches, I think a 10.9 in the broad. You know, I profess my confidence in Vince Williams, and I'm not going to waver from that. But if you want a better athlete, and basically who I envision could be the next Lawrence Timmons, could be Jared Davis. And there's also Marcus May, the safety as well, who the team met with. So a lot of interest in these Florida guys.
Yeah, where does Mark, I mean, you profiled May, right?
I'm watching. I'm about tomorrow. I think it's going to go up.
Okay. I thought didn't one of you guys already do him or no? Not, I guess, I guess not. I guess his name's just on my mind because of the Florida Pro Day. But I'd be interested. Look, I mean, I've obviously been caught on edge rushers most of the time, that and tight ends, and all along with some running backs here and there. So, you know, I've watched a lot of top guys, but I can't wait to get around to May's tape. I'm with you. Maybe one of these Florida kids is the dark horse here, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, could May have that rise that Keanu Neal, his teammate, and Carl Joseph had? I don't completely rule it out. You know, May got dinged a little bit by that broken arm that ended the season last year. He played a lot of free safety for Florida, but he's a big guy that can play, you know, be like a strong safety and come down and fill the alley. So I want to see him some more in coverage, but he's a fluid guy that's a good open field tackler that you know, can play with leverage and really hit you. So that's an interesting guy. The Steelers have looked at a lot of safety so far, but they've kind of profiled more of that strong safety type, that big hitter, not really that true free safety. You know, the Josh Joneses of the world and May, and I think there's somebody else I'm missing as well. But I feel pretty good they're going to draft at least one Florida Gator, and it could end up being two.
Wouldn't be surprising. All right, we reached out on Twitter for some questions. You got some pulled up there, Alex. You want to start running through some of these?
Yeah, let me let's find the first one here. I think Steven asks one, and it's a couple tweets. So he says, wouldn't it be more prudent to go heavy on defense for the win now instead of quarterback, and then make sure you have a defense in place that can keep teams in games with Ben's successor? So basically Steven's asking, isn't it smarter to go defense than it is quarterback in the early rounds? And I think both of us would agree on the answer.
Yeah, look, I mean, if it was up to me, they'd go defense probably first three picks like they did last year. I got a feeling that we're not going to get that wish this time around. I think there's going to end up being a running back or a quarterback maybe thrown in there somewhere. But look, the offense, assuming Martavis Bryant makes it back this year. You're going to have him back. Let's assume you get something, some more out of Ladarius Green than what you got last year. I'm not worried about the offense right now. This defense absolutely has got to get better. And I say it all the time, you know, your secondary gets better, in my opinion, the more successful you are getting after the quarterback. So, in so many words, I think that's what Art Rooney said early on in the offseason. So, opposite Artie Burns, you're getting, you really don't know what you have moving forward. I mean, William Gay, another year older. Don't know what Cinquez Golson is yet, whether or not he'll make it. And then, of course, you know, Ross Cockrell there. Why not first two rounds go edge rusher or cornerback and any rotate those guys? You know, take one in the first round and address the other one in the second round. All I care, because I think you're going to get a decent quality player at both positions, whatever way you go there. Now, third round, they might end up going to offensive side of football, but I will be disappointed if they don't go two defense spots early.
Agreed. You want to go another question?
Yeah, fire through these things.
Hopefully I'm getting these names right. Kalen Clark says, if the Steelers take a receiver in the first four rounds of the draft, how likely is it they draft a slot receiver to upgrade over Eli Rogers?
I guess I wouldn't be shocked. You know, look, you got the kid. Who's the kid out of North Carolina?
Ryan Switzer.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, he might be a little bit, you know, more of a mid-round guy. I can't foresee this team giving up on, even though, you know, I'm not a huge Sammy Coates fan right now, I can't see them cutting bait on him. I think Martavis will be back. You went out and got Justin Hunter. So, I mean, if you did get someone built to play, you know, on the outside like that, are you really going to want to spend a top three or four round pick on that? I think if you are to address the wide receiver position that early, it would be in mind to get a guy that could potentially play in the slot, right?
Yeah, you know, I wrestle with this a lot because I like Eli Rogers a lot. I know both of us do. You know, I talked about Rogers basically right after he was signed as UDFA, saying, hey, don't overlook this guy. This guy can play. He's not your typical, you know, undrafted free agent. But, you know, he's not going to be the most dynamic yak threat in the slot in the way that maybe some, you know, let's say Marcus Wheaton was with his speed. You know, he got better as a yak guy over time in Pittsburgh. So
not much better.
Not a lot, but I think he did definitely improve on it. You know, the Steelers, I mean, how many more Z receivers can you add? I mean, you sign Hunter, you have DHB, you have Coach, you're likely to have Bryant, and even Kobe Hamilton is there as well. I know they profile looking for those big Z-type receivers that are, you know, fast and can jump high and are tall and all that. But I wouldn't mind the idea of upgrading the slot. And Ryan Switzer would be, you know, great addition, I think, in, let's say, you know, the third round.
So we agree. If they take a receiver in the middle rounds, more likely it's going to be one that has probably the potential to compete for a slot job.
I don't know if it's more likely, but I would prefer it. I'll say that much.
All right, what you got next for us?
Let me scroll up here. What running back? This is from Austin Hackett, by the way. Austin Hackett, a longtime listener. What running back would you guys like round three or later? And then also he asks, who would you rather have, Sidney Jones or Jake Butt? Talking about two guys that, you know, may miss their entire rookie season.
I think, I mean, there's a group of like four running backs right there that I don't think it would hurt me. You know, Foreman, James Saxon, I believe, was at his Texas Pro Day. Gallman is a guy that I think I might be higher on Gallman than most people. Foreman, Marlon Mack is another one in there. Who am I missing?
The name that I would go with, I think has maybe a good chance to be a Steeler, is Perine, Samaje Perine from Oklahoma.
That's the other one.
They like those big running backs, and they had Saxon at Oklahoma's Pro Day as well, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to draft Joe Mixon just because Mixon's going to go in the second round. So I think Perine's a good target, let's say, in the fourth round.
Yeah, one of those four, right? Will we be shocked if it's not one of those four?
I think you could probably say between Foreman, though Foreman's stock probably rose because he had a great workout, ran a 4.45 at 2.37. Gallman, I think, makes a lot of sense. Obviously, they're at the Pro Day for Clemson as well. And Perine. So I think, you know, Gallman and Perine are maybe the two names that I think are most likely right now.
You're lower on Mac than most, huh?
No, I just haven't probably seen enough about Mac. I think Josh did a report on him. Certainly impressive tape. But maybe I just don't know enough about Mac. But they like those really bigger guys. I know Mac is kind of bigger, but, you know, Perine really seems to fit what the Steelers like to have.
Let's see. How about one from James Antoinette? Would you address outside corner in the draft, specifically in the second round? Who do you think is available? I think we kind of already popped that one for you, James, right? Didn't we, Alex?
Yeah, you know, Owuzie could play on the outside. I probably like him more on the outside than the slot. Quincy Wilson from Florida, who, again, I might not be the craziest about, but if you want to go to that man-heavy, you know, scheme, then his tackling issues are a little less concerning, and hopefully with his frame he can improve on that. You know, those might be some of the top two guys to think about at that spot. You know, Witherspoon, we've talked about. Brian Allen is more of a maybe third, fourth round guy out of Utah. Utah always has these big, long kind of corners, and Keith McGill and Sean Smith and guys like that. So, you know, that might be another guy in the later rounds to think about.
Here's one from Joe Klinger. Let's see. He says, doubt it happens, but with the depth at edge and defensive back, wouldn't this be a great draft for the Steelers to trade out of the first round? Joe, you probably don't need me to give you a history lesson here, and that's probably what led you starting off your tweet with doubt it happens. Steelers never traded out of that first round. Now, with that said, would it hurt my feelings if they moved down four or five spots or so, you know, picked up, I don't know, what would it cost for a team to move up into the first? It cost them their second, right? Probably. You know, would it hurt my feelings if the Steelers did that? Absolutely not, especially when you pick that late. And as you said, I think you could have a list of three or four guys at that point that you could be fairly sure would slide down to you if you moved down, say, you know, four or five spots. With all that said, I'm going to pinch myself and wake myself up now, because I just don't see that happening. And you would agree with that, right, Alex?
Agree, just because of the history of it, though I'm really never opposed to the idea. I think they could, you know, if they're going to trade out anywhere, I think maybe the second round, because I think, you know, Colbert wanted more comp picks, and he wasn't happy getting just the – I mean, he was happy getting a third, but he wasn't happy not getting a fifth or a sixth or something like that. So I think he was hoping to get a couple extra picks total this year. And so with how deep this draft class is, you may, you know, trade out from the second round. They did that a couple years ago with the Broncos.
Gary Stiles – I think it's Gary Stiles. I don't have my glasses on. On Twitter, you and Alex both agreed that the Steelers would take a running back early. If Cook from FSU is there at 30, do you take him?
No, I do not. I don't think the running back value is going to be justified, and this class is too good. You can get another good back in the third, fourth round.
I would agree with you as well, too. Now, look, I think Cook has done some amazing stuff during his career at FSU. The thing is, I think that's even though he might be drafted in the first round, ultimately, I think that's too high for him when it comes to the Steelers. Now, you know, if he's there in the second round, still on the board, you know, maybe you consider it. So, no for me at 30, and I believe no for Alex at 30 as well, mm-hmm. too. Do we have anything else question-wise?
Yeah, we'll do a couple more. J Music Chatter says, is there any player who is within reason to fall who would get to around pick 25 that you would trade up for? So basically, are there any players that you would really consider trading up for in this class?
Oh, wow. Man, I mean, just the price is just so, mm-hmm. so steep to move up,
right.
You know? No, I guess that, you know, that's my default answer. You know, I'm trying to rack my brain if there's anybody in that top 20 that would fall out, you know, that realistic chance. And really, I can't think of anybody. So how about you, Alex?
I really wouldn't. As much as I like Hassan Reddick, I really wouldn't, just because the Steelers, again, don't have that ammunition, the picks to really trade up. They only have 8 overall, and with so many areas you want to address, I just don't think it's worth it to find that one guy to really go all in on. So, you know, and there's not anyone I really love enough to say, yeah, let's trade the farm to get even a guy like a Hassan Reddick. So I'm comfortable with 30. I think there's going to be a lot of edge talent there. There's going to be some cornerback talent there as well. You don't have to reach for somebody else, because the guys that you want are going to be in your range.
Is Reddick a slam dunk first round guy?
Yes. To me, it's not a question of if he goes in the first round. It's how high he goes in the first round.
Okay. All right. I kind of view him as a little bit later first round guy. So, look, I would not be aggravated at all if he was to pick, and I know you wouldn't either. I mean, it'd be a hard one not to run up with the, you know, turn the card in on, right there. You got any other questions for us?
Chad Prince says, I think lack of depth at running back is the most underrated weakness on this roster. Agree or not? So, Dave, is running back the most underrated weakness?
man, running backs are fungible if they're not named Le'Veon Bell, if you ask me. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's a unique talent, in my opinion. I think you can get by with a committee of guys if you didn't have a Le'Veon Bell.
I don't know. Last time they did a committee, I got Ben Tate and Josh Harris. So,
well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, they,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Look, I thought they did well with Toussaint and Todman for a little while. Now, obviously, is that the type of thing you want to go through for 7, 8, 9, 10 games a season? No. But, I mean, you just had a guy like D'Angelo Williams come in and did what he did, and he's not a guy that's going to burn you for a 70-yard touchdown or break off explosive runs against you. I guess I don't rate the backup spot as being as big as others.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the most underrated weakness, but I did find it kind of odd that my mock draft where I took a running back in the third, people said that was too high to take a running back. I mean, you know, if something were to happen to Bell, you got to have that strong number two that's not going to totally change your offense the way that it did, you know, when Bell got hurt in the wild card game against the Ravens and you were left with basically nothing at running back. You were left with Tate, Harris, and Archer, the worst law firm and running back group ever. So I think it's a position that, you know, starting third round, I'm okay with this team taking. But I still think, to answer the question more directly, I think nickel corner is still the one spot people don't think about enough. Everyone thinks about the outside corner or just secondary in general, but that nickel corner, not really, you know, I like Gay still, but, you know, there's no long-term guy on this roster. You just can't trust Golson right now. So I think when people think about the secondary or the defense, they don't think about nickel corner enough, even though it should be obvious. I don't know if it gets the talk that it should.
Hey, wait, time out. Let's get the second Craig Oxane ad here. Alex, hey, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steelers fan, a Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Or you can email Craig at craig@blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. All right, Alex, time for you to break out your map and your push pins, okay?
Goodness.
What is where in the heck is Carmen Sandiego? That was in your generation, wasn't it?
A little. I didn't watch it too much.
Okay. Going through, we reached out to our listeners on Twitter, and maybe my wife is eavesdropping on me now, so she can hear me run down some of these names out of the U.S. Listeners, and just to give Alex you a kind of jolt at how far your voice travels on the Google and the internets. Wayne Keevers, Sydney, Australia native. He says he's been listening for 4 years. He says, you're my sporting staple. If I close my eyes, it's like I never left the Berg. If my voice makes you sound like you never left the Berg, God bless you. Wayne, always good to hear from you. Good Lord, I'm gonna pronounce this name wrong. Steinbohr Helgi, I guess. From from Iceland. Some of you guys are going to get me. I probably couldn't even pick out Iceland on a map for you. So I need to learn how to pronounce that city in Iceland. But never have seen this name on Twitter before, but evidently a longtime follower. Appreciate him reaching out to us as well, too. Peter McDonald, Newfoundland. So there, you know, there's another one ways away from us. Let's see if I can find a few more here. Copenhagen, Denmark.
Okay. Very cool.
Great job, guys. That's from Jacob William Ronbog. I don't get how to pronounce some of these things with the O's with the slash through it. kids, if you listen to this, go to college. Okay, don't turn out like Dave. Let's see, another one from that's what Alex has going for him. Alex has never had to work in the real world, but he did go to he did get a degree in college from college. David Noller, Halifax, Nova Scotia. Gareth from Poole, England. Dean Mitchell, Cambridgeshire, UK. Terrence Hill, Cologne, Germany. Charbel Gaori from Stockholm, Sweden. Been listening 4 to 5 years now, he writes. Wow. Adam Richardson, Sutherland, England. Good Lord, Alex, isn't this amazing? Chris Bailey, just south of London in England. He says he's loving my sense of humor and sensible and analysis. What show has he been listening to the right show? Chris, we appreciate. Here's one. Tom Rem, Hanoi, Vietnam.
Wow. Good morning, Vietnam.
Yeah. So with that said, good morning, Vietnam. Always wanted to. Here's one from AB, Jalapa, Mexico. Man, we got a lot of listeners in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Chris Shaw from north of Dundee in Scotland. Here's one from Gadjo from Melbourne, Australia. Another one from Glasgow, Scotland. Wow. St. Louis, Potosi, Mexico. Got one there. A foreign country, Canada. One from Alex Besenque, Regina, Saskatchewan. A lot of people like me to do these segments every once in a while just to hear me pronounce some of these names and cities. One from Rob in Ottawa, Canada. Hamilton, Ontario. Good Lord. Another one from Brazil, Guatemala. Guys, and we got one from our buddy Mike Mitchell, who lives in the foreign country of Jacksonville, Florida.
Florida feels like it's not part of the state sometimes. It's its own little world.
Right, right. And hailing from Florida myself, I can attest to that. Folks, I hope you had some fun today. I think it's fun every once in a while to be humbled, if you will. And Alex, I think you would agree with that. You know,
absolutely.
Seeing, you know, and hearing from listeners and how far our voice, you know, extends around the globe. It really is humbling when we hear back from listeners like that. So I wanted to make sure that I hit on that today. I hope we hit on enough of your questions today. Alex will be back with me on Monday. David's going to be in Boston covering the Pirates and watching the Pirates for their season opener. So look for Alex to be back with me on Monday. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow Alex Kozora at Alex_Kozora. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. As always, if you got any questions, you know, feel free to shoot them to us. We'll try to get them either written back to you or on the podcast in a future episode as well, too. If you want to donate to the show, if we make you laugh, if we're funny like clowns at times, if we entertain you and you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com, find that PayPal button upper right navigational bar. And I think that's got it. Hope everybody has a great weekend. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.